What you are about to hear, the views and opinions expressed on the Philip D. Blackman Show do not reflect the views of this station. You have been warned.
I'm former Vice President Joe Biden. The Philip D. Blackman Show is going to kick me in the nuts tonight because I suck as a president. Enjoy the show as I try to remember who shit in my pants.
Hello, ladies and gentlemen. This is Philip D. Blackman, host of the Philip D. Blackman Show. Join me every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday right here at 5 o'clock p.m. Central Standard Time. But in the meantime, friends, buckle up, get your mind right, and get ready for the fastest hour in radio. Thank you for tuning in. Let's get it started.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Hey, hello, ladies and gentlemen. Happy Wednesday. I hope you all are doing happy, well, and blessed. Welcome to another episode of the Philip D. Blackman Show. I am your host, Philip D. Blackman, and welcome to the fastest hour in radio. So last Friday, former First Lady, Secretary of State, failed presidential candidate Hillary Clinton asserted that Republicans, here we go, ladies and gentlemen, it's been going, but now it's official. It's hunting season. Republicans, she says, are plotting to, quote, steal the next presidential election. Now, yet she hasn't been deplatformed, nor is she any Democratic leader spoken out against this toxic narrative she's painting. And we have all been told for the past 2 years that it is completely un-American to question the integrity of our elections or to make baseless claims without proof, spreading lies, misinformation. So tonight, if social media doesn't block my videos from being broadcast, they don't shut it down for whatever reason, due to the content, because I'm calling them out, you know, I'm going to cover this one-sided hypocrisy amongst our political elites, you know, when expressing concerns about our democracy. But, ladies and gentlemen, just in case they do decide to shut us down a little bit, hey, look, right now, I want you to know all the places that we're available, because this is not a show you want to miss, but this is also a show that you want to share. So we're live right now on Facebook at The Philip D. Blackman Show. We're also live on YouTube, as well as LinkedIn at thephilipdblackmanshow.com. Now, if you're in Twitter sphere or you're in Twitch, hey, the PDB Show are another avenues you can watch, or you can catch us on our affiliate stations, AOW Radio, Pulse Talk Radio, IPM Nation, About Face Guys, we're everywhere, and I want you to be a part of the show. Now, if you want to leave a comment or you want to participate, social media are great options. We can put your comment right up here on the screen, or you can call or text the show. We got our phone fixed for this show, 409-245-9753. Again, for my listeners across the airwaves, that's 409-245-9753. So to all my listeners across the nation, around the globe, thank you so much for tuning in. Episode number 296, Planting the Seeds of Doubt for 2022 and 2024. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm Philip Blackman. Let's get it going. You know, for my first-time listeners, we've dedicated the opening segment of each show, and we call it End of Watch. Now, this is our way of honoring our fallen men and women in the law enforcement community. So last year, you know, we had 651 officers die in the line of duty, and as of this show, as of right now, we're sitting at about 192. And now those are numbers we get from the Officer Down Memorial page. Go check it out and go read some of these stories because they are quite tragic. But you'll see a quote on there that I've said every show since we've been doing these, that when a police officer is killed, it's not just an agency that loses an officer. It is an entire nation. And truly, we should be, we should be embracing and remembering and you know, not just the fallen officers, but the families as well. You know, we honor all of our officers who serve and those who've given their lives in service to their community and their country. And we highlight a different officer every week, beginning with our Monday show. This week, friends, we're going to continue honoring Greenville, Mississippi Police Department's investigator, Maisha Brianna Stewart, in this opening segment, End of Watch.
Mm-hmm. The Philip D. Blackman Show proudly salutes Greenville, Mississippi Police Department's investigator, Maisha Stewart, 30, who was shot and killed on October the 11th, 2022, during a vehicle pursuit. Greenville Mayor Eric Simmons said in a statement, "Maisha Stewart was one of those brave women. She was one of those who exhibited heart and courage. She was one who put fear aside to help someone else. In her final act, she leaves a legacy of duty, honor, strength, courage, and service." Miss Stewart is survived by her parents and a 3-year-old son. On behalf of the Philip D. Blackman Show and the grateful nation, thank you for your service, Investigator Stewart. Greenville Police Investigator Maisha Stewart. End of watch, October the 11th, 2022. Rest in peace, officer. We are proudly sponsored by One of a Kind Art 43, created by professional artist Tammy Blackman. Tammy offers free consultations and will customize your art piece to fit your needs. Each of her pieces are, as the name suggests, is one of a kind because each are personalized pieces, and once she is done, there will never be another. If you are interested, go visit Tammy on her social media pages, Facebook and TikTok, by searching One of a Kind Art 43, where Tammy broadcasts her work as she's making custom tumblers or canvas art for another satisfied customer. You can always reach out to Tammy through her email at oneofakindart43@gmail.com or call 409-234-5156. Although the prices vary, the quality is unmatched. Again, her social media pages are one of a kind with underscores between each word, followed by the word art and the number 43. Thank you again, Tammy, for another presence on this show.
Uh-oh. Guess what day it is? Guess what day it is? Huh? Anybody?
Julie, hey, guess what day it is?
Oh, come on. I know you can hear me. Mike. What day is it, Mike? Leslie, guess what today is?
It's hump day.
Woo-woo!
Ronnie, how happy are folks who save hundreds of dollars switching to Geico?
I'd say happier than a camel on Wednesday.
Hump day!
Get happy. Yeah. Get Geico. 15 minutes could save you 15% or more.
All right, guys. So thank you all so much for being with me today, carving out a piece of your happy hump day to each and every one of you. You know... For a long time, this show, well, I want to say for a long time, but for a little while, this show's been, well, let's just be honest, it's been a little, it hasn't been fun. And the reason why, for me, I mean, I don't know how it is for you guys, but for me, it hasn't really been a lot of fun because, man, it's just, Jesus Christ, it seems like I could literally do every show covering the same stuff. That seems like it's kind of the running joke it feels like that, you know, it's very rare that we get breaking news that's truly breaking. It's just another asshole saying something talking out of the side of their neck. And man, you just get tired of talking about the same stuff. And it's been really, really difficult. But thank you, Hillary, right? So, you know, thank you, Hillary, for giving us the opportunity to find something different to talk about, because we've been saying it for a long time and now she's giving it to us. So for all of you guys who are joining me on this episode 296, thank you all so much. I see Laura, Dale, Tammy, Casey, the rest of you guys who haven't made yourselves known, guys, thank you so much. Drop me a message in the chat and we'll do what we can to recognize you. And again, if you want to call or text the show, 409-245-9753 is the digits. So here it is. Here's kind of my thought process. You know, with the future, with the future of the Republic hanging in the balance, and really the most two important elections, it feels like, in our nation's history, is coming up later this year and again in 2024. This leftist establishment, you know, it remains determined, absolutely determined, to not allow any examination whatsoever of what happened in 2020, even if it means preventing what happens in 22 or 24. You know, year when unprecedented changes in voting procedures, you know, they greatly assisted the Democratic Party with seizing total control over the government. You know, when the Republican legislators started passing, like in Georgia, the voting rights laws, it was Jim Crow 2.0. Joe Biden managed to read off his teleprompter. It makes Jim Crow like Jim Eagle, right? It's gonna be the worst thing ever for Georgia residents. But yet here we are, ladies and gentlemen. We're in the midterms, and right now, Georgia, you know, with these Jim Crow laws, voter suppression, and all the accusations, as of right now, Georgia is having a record number of voters. Many of them are record black voters. Now, if you don't know about the demographics of Georgia, it's like 30%, I believe, of the population in Georgia are black voters. And to see that a great majority of these black voters that the Democratic Party constantly said that, well, they don't have a driver's license, they can't get a driver's license, they can't travel to someplace, they can't, given all these excuses, telling black people that what they can and can't do based off, I think, their own racist ideology, but they don't really want to say it out loud. But out of everything that they're saying and all the discredit that they're giving to the black community in Georgia, they are turning out in record numbers. And it just makes you wonder, you know, is it really Jim Crow, or is it really voter suppression? Or are you just concerned that the black community has finally caught on to your racist bullshit, your racist history as a Democratic Party? I don't know. I just don't know. We will be having that conversation at some point. But, you know, since the declaration that Joe Biden defeated President Donald Trump, you know, questions have lingered in my mind and a lot of yours about the integrity of that controversial election that served to completely shift the direction of this country to a path, really, that's consistent with the radical left's transformational agenda. One that the current president, you know, he didn't formally express his support for during his campaign, not at all. But the thing is, even though we have these issues, even though we recognize that there are problems, that we are not allowed by any stretch of any imagination to say there were appeared discrepancies. Yeah, I understand. You know, it's not what you know. It's what you can prove. To quote a line from Law Abiding Citizens, not what you know. It's what you can prove in the court of law. And you know, hey, we haven't been able to prove it, and that's fine. And I even did a show right after the election where I said the election kind of seems fraudulent. You know, I mean, there's some optics here that look really bad. Why are we not discussing these? And we were told that we are, regardless of who you are, regardless if you're white, black, brown, yellow, regardless of your background, regardless of where you come from, if you talk about the election, if you suggest, if you even have an idea that the election, you know, there could have been some shenanigans afoot, you are deplatformed, you're an asshole. You're silenced. You're shouted down. And I'm gonna tell you something. I did a show two or three weeks ago, Tammy. I think I can't remember when it was, but it's 2 or 3 weeks ago. YouTube actually pulled one of my videos and said, "Well, you know, you're talking about election integrity and disinformation. That video's not allowed." And I'm like, "Wait!" I actually appealed it. I said, "No, I'm not talking about the election. Anybody that says the election was stolen, they're delusional." And here's why I say that. I wasn't cowering to the man. That's just the reality. If you say that the election was stolen with zero shred of evidence, then what are you doing? If you don't have proof, you know, I think it's one of those things that, you know, you got to be careful what you say, because if you don't have proof, then really what do you have? You're just a screaming nut out there, and you're immediately not taken you're not taken seriously. And the thing that bothers me about all of this is I really believe it is our right as American citizens. It's our God-given right for us to seek the truth. I mean, since the moment that the media called the 2020 election for Biden, a lot of people on the right, a lot of conservatives, they've had questions, real questions about the integrity of this election process you know, in later 22, ever since 2022, we've been seeing questions. You know, I want to hit this right here. Tammy says that I can accept loss, but what was in those cases they were pulling from under the table? Nobody ever explained what we saw in those videos. If it's innocent, then what was in there? Hey, you know, Tammy, if you'll recall, I did a show talking about that very thing, and it was titled "What's in the Box." And you're right, you know. So I mean, there's a lot of questions. But see, Tammy, by you asking those questions, you are now considered an ultra MAGA, all right? Which is the new hate slang for you because you don't support the agenda. The fact that you're asking these questions means you are a threat to democracy. Joe Biden even said so. You're not allowed to ask questions. And, you know, to be honest with you, friends, I really haven't spent a lot of time on my show asking questions because the reality is I know that if I pose those questions, social media giants like Facebook and YouTube and Twitter and Twitch and everywhere else that I broadcast to, they're going to shut me down. I don't know if it's a fear thing, but you know, when you're trying to make a difference for someone like me, who's just getting started in the broadcasting, I say just getting started. We've been doing this for a couple of years now, coming on 300 episodes. We've been doing it for a minute, you know, but when you're trying to grow, when you're trying to establish yourself, the greatest fear you can have is to have your voice squelched. And man, Facebook hates my guts. They do everything they can to shut me down at every turn. And I really fully believe for those of you who are watching on Facebook, I fully expect you guys to tell me this video has already been taken down. Matter of fact, I'm going to look at it while I'm talking to you. But it is truly disgusting. It's disturbing. I don't understand why we're in this situation, but we are. You know, again, just a few episodes ago, Facebook or YouTube shut me down because I was talking about the questions that the right had. And I made the statement that it's not what you know, it's what you can prove. Now, I've yet to take a hard stance on this show, and I won't, because I do not like going out there and making statements unless I got something to back it up. Now, in my election show, my election post coverage, I did have videos to back it up, and I said, hey, here it is. You know, there's a penalty. We all recognize there's a penalty for asking questions. You know, we're going to be deplatformed. And it's a reality it's disastrous to show that's trying to grow and gain an audience, which is why I always ask you guys, man, share my videos, man. Share them to social media. Get people on there, because my broadcast announcements, I'm being shadow banned. They've been shut down. And it's because I do shows like this one right here. It's very uncomfortable. They don't want me having these conversations. They don't want me to get you to thinking. But on the other hand, me and you and everyday Americans, we have an absolute right to seek the truth about our elections or any other topic and to really say what we think about it, period. So I am. And it feels like I'm stuck in the position that we have a right to ask questions and not take anything this government says at face value, especially when they have a history of straight up and down lying to us. But the reality is, it's now effectively a crime to ask questions about what happened during the last presidential election. It's not an overstatement. It's not hyperbole. That is what it is. But why is that? Why can't you ask those questions? I mean, Democrats, they always ask the question after election, and at some level, that's okay. It's not an attack on democracy to demand fair elections, to demand proof of fair elections. In fact, it's a defense of democracy to do so. When you defend the system, you're supporting the system. But the Biden administration, they don't agree with that. They want you just to shut your mouth. They vehemently want you to shut up. The DHS, which, by the way, of course, is a law enforcement agency, the biggest in the country, they believe that asking questions about the last election, it's a crime. I saw a report in NBC News that covered a story about the DHS warning police departments across the country that false claims about the 2020 presidential election are fueling calls for violence on social media. You know, false claims about the last election are fueling violence. Now, violence is always bad. I understand. I've always said that. We're always against violence, no matter who commits it. Unlike the left, but really asking questions about the last election is constitutionally protected. It's a right that's given to you by God, by your maker. And it's safeguarded by the U.S. government. End of story.
But they're telling you that you're committing a crime and you're violent if you ask questions? Really? I mean, Democrats have been saying this since Election Day. And keep in mind, there are questions. I mean, the last election, it wasn't like the previous elections. Democrats, they used the COVID pandemic to change the voting rules in ways that made it much easier to commit fraud. That is just true. We have to do this, they told us. People will die if we don't. The influence of mail-in voting, a process rife with possibilities of mischief that was vastly expanded by the cynical exploitation of COVID. And at no point you may recall did the media even think of raising any questions about these changes in the process. And did the media raise any questions about these changes in the process? And then within moments of the 2020 election outcome, without even conducting a single investigation at all, went into this brand new system of voting. They magically concluded that any claim of voter fraud, it was meritless. Is the media talking head since elections, they have purposefully dismissed any scrutiny of the vote as dangerous conspiracy theories. Of course, they have no idea if that's true because they did no independent investigation at all. They're just shields of the Democratic Party, and you know that by now. Yeah, we're not going to keep repeating the same line, but it's just so glaringly obvious. They don't know anything. They're just asserting something because their friends in the Democratic Party told them to do so. So why is all this obsession with mail-in balloting happening now? I mean, we haven't had that in the history of this country at the scale that we just had it with this last election. Well, people can't go to the polls anymore because why? You know, we haven't had the, you know, why are they so in favor of something like mail-in balloting? I mean, truly, and that's connected to the fact that Joe Biden, who is a husk, who is a mannequin, that everyone knows that, he somehow got more votes than Barack Obama, who's like a living person. I mean, really? I mean, Democrats, they've been touting the 2020 as the most secure election in history. Okay, how? How did you get there? They can't tell us. And they can't. They're just lying, and maybe it was just the most secure election ever, but we have a right to determine for ourselves if that was truly the most secure election, period. But we're not allowed to ask questions. We have an absolute God-given right. In fact, we need to because we have an election coming up. And then an election just after that 2 years later. And we're going to have to, we got to have the confidence in the outcomes of the elections. And we pray that we do. And then we need to be absolutely certain that we know what happened in 2020. You know, Donald Trump continues to maintain that the election was rigged against him and the Biden administration, along with congressional Democrats, could shut him up once and for all if they just allowed a legitimate investigation onto the vote. But no, they're not going to do that. And that speaks volumes. I'm not going to jump on that Trump bandwagon to say that it was rigged and it was stolen. There's no proof to support that. But I think the way that you silence those critiques is let the investigation happen. But they won't do it. And why? It's questions. You know, last Friday, Hillary Clinton, she made a very bold accusation, similar to what she did in the 2016 election. You know, that Republicans are plotting to steal the next presidential election. That's her quote, steal the next presidential election. You know, the only difference is in 2016, she said that the Republicans actually stole the 2016 election via outside help from the Russians. You know, but during the buildup to the 2016 election, there was a lot of conversation about Russian interference, which really set up the stage for a preemptive strike in case Hillary lost the election, which she did. And it made it a reliable accusation to fall back on with zero evidence. Clinton, whose 2016 White House hopes were dashed, destroyed by Donald Trump. Everybody knew she was going to be the first female president. Well, I think it's going to be Kamala Harris, not because she got voted, because, you know, it's just proxy at that point. But she made the accusation last week in a promotional video for a progressive advocacy group called Indivisible. In the video, she says, quote, right-wing extremists already have a plan to literally steal the next presidential election, and they're not making a secret of it. The right-wing-controlled Supreme Court may be poised to rule and on giving state legislatures the power to overturn a presidential election. Well, here's the problem, Hillary, and I think everybody else who doesn't understand this claim that she's making right here. It comes as the Supreme Court is getting ready to hear a case during this term that's going to give the state legislators more power in regulating federal elections. The case is called Moore versus Harper, and it stems from a lawsuit by the GOP North Carolina Attorney General over the state's court's invalidation of congressional redistricting. The Constitution is very clear, ladies and gentlemen. It gives the sole authority to regulate federal elections to state legislators, not the federal government, without any oversight by state courts or state constitutions. Hillary Clinton alleges that if the Supreme Court rules in favor of North Carolina, the 2024 presidential election could be decided by Republican-controlled state legislators. She says right here, she says, just think. Let's make sure we got the right slide up. Yeah, there it is. She says, quote, just think. The 2024 presidential election could be decided not by the popular vote or even the anachronistic electoral college, but by state legislators, many of them Republican-controlled. Well, wait a minute. Why does that matter if they're Republican-controlled or not? Because they're not on your side? Is that the argument you're making? I mean, because if you remember back in the 2016 election, allegedly she had, 3 million more popular votes than Donald Trump, and yet she lost the House. So she's still pretty bitter. But I want to remind you that after losing to Trump, her allies, they pushed these claims about Russian interference in 2016 presidential contest. Just in 2019, Hillary Clinton even suggested the White House race was stolen from her. Here's her quote. She says, quote, I think it's also critical to understand that, as I've been telling candidates who've come to see me, you can run the best campaign, you can even become the best nominee, and you can have the election stolen from you. She said that in 2019. And crickets, right? I mean, I think I've got some right here. I'm pretty sure I do. I mean, she said that and nobody said a word. Why? Because nobody wants to get suicided. Has Hillary Clinton been deplatformed off social media? No. Has the media body slammed Hillary for laying the groundwork once again, bringing into question the legitimacy of this election? Again, no. Why? I think the answer is obvious by now, and if it's not, it should be by the end of this show. There's a new poll from Rasmussen Reports that found that most Democrats, they still believe the 2016 election was stolen from Hillary Clinton and that Trump only won because of interference from Russia. Even though there's evidence directly refuting it, they still believe it. Anytime that Donald Trump or anyone else questions the outcome of the 2020 election, Democrats in the media, they call them conspiracy theorists, and they call it the big lie. You're promoting the big lie. I mean, this is difficult. It's different, I think, when Democrats do it. I mean, Democrats, they believe, you know, Paul Bettard, he wrote an article in the Washington Post, and he said something along the lines that Democrats still believe Clinton won in 16. Clinton's fans, they're sticking to their guns, you know, because when it comes to believing that Russia meddling cost her the election. But according to the latest Rasmussen report, 72% of Democrats said that Russia succeeded. 72% of Democrats said Russia succeeded in changing the outcome of the election that vaulted former President Trump into the White House. In findings that largely mirror surveys, Republican doubt of the 2020 election that Democrats mock a lot. More than a majority of liberals told Rasmussen that they feel very strongly that Russia won the 2016 election for Trump. Wait a minute. I thought it was un-American to question the election. Oh, that's right. It's only if their side got lost the election. You know, fears of Russia interference in U.S. politics, they remain widespread, even still. And I'm not real sure why. And Democratic voters overwhelmingly agree that Hillary Clinton, that Russia is to blame for her defeat. Not the fact that she was a shitty person, but Russia. You know, Democrats largely fear that Russia is going to try again in the fall congressional midterms. They're already laying the groundwork, and they're going to try again in 2024. They're already laying the groundwork for doubt. And this has been going on for decades. I mean, for Democrats, the only legitimate elections are the ones that they win. Have you noticed that? In July of 2020, interview with Joy Reid on MSNBC, Hillary Clinton said that it's very clear that Russia succeeded. They believe that they were able to influence the minds of and even the votes of Americans. So why would they stop? Well, 72% of Democrats, again, believe that the election was changed by Russian interference. Only 30% of Republicans support that idea. 39% of voters not affiliated with either party support that. But last week, CNN reported in their coverage that the U.S. intelligence sources believe that old Vladdy may be up to dialing up his attempts to interfere with the American elections. I mean, it ain't like he's got a war going on that he's got to worry about that he should care more about. But, you know, he'd rather fuck with our elections. I mean, 59% of voters think that Russia is going to actually try to interfere in this year's congressional midterm elections. That means people are not reading beyond the headlines. They're believing what these talking heads are telling them to believe. I mean, 34% don't believe that Russian interference in midterm elections is likely. You know, 26% who probably say not at all. So the narrative for the 22 midterms is already set. If Republicans win the House and or the Senate, it will have been because of Russian interference, not because most Americans reject Democratic policies. Impossible. Democrats and the media, they're going to make conspiracy theories great again. But I want to keep this conversation going. But first, I need to take a quick commercial break, and we're going to pick right back up where we left off as we jump into one final the breakdown.
This election, your choice couldn't be more important. Our candidate is in flattering lighting and full bright color. Their candidate is in grainy high contrast black and white, spotted through a telephoto lens from behind a bush, coming back from God only knows where. Our guy points at the horizon and holds a baby. Their guy doesn't have a baby. Their guy has a golf club. The voiceover for our guy is calm, measured, bright. Their guy gets the lower register. And sometimes we slow down. Our guy has clean headlines and the beautiful lens flare America needs. Here's a scary graph over a photo of their guy awkwardly laughing. Snap zoom. Do you want a snap zoom like that in office? Here's a photo of our guy saluting military veterans. Jump cuts, flashes, static, aggressive colors. You can't trust a guy with graphics like this. Our guy gets stock footage of sunrises and an American flag. Their guy's flag is upside down and on fire. Intercut with overdue bills, war, and a crying baby. Our guy gets doctors and astronauts and stimulus checks. Flatline, an eagle, hurricane, the Statue of Liberty, crime scene tape,
destruction,
Ronald Reagan, a girl running in a wheat field to escape a dangerous sexual predator, wielding atomic bomb. This election, the choice is yours. Their guy or our guy. Inspiring slogan.
Man, I'm going to tell you, you just can't make that type of stuff up, because I placed it there deliberately because, man, that we're getting into that season. If you haven't been seeing some of these political ads, they are unbelievable. But I'm just asking, folks. I mean, and truly, I would love to hear some commentary. I'd love to talk to someone or just see it in the chat. You know, I mean, do any of you really find it strange that we do not dare challenge the prevailing narrative of the Democratic Party, you know, their projection and the nation's socialist media? Do we dare? I mean, especially since questioning electoral integrity is a cottage industry just for they themselves whenever they lose. Why does this matter? Why am I covering it on this show? Well, I'll tell you why in this segment, The Breakdown. Alrighty, so looking at some of the comments in the chat, Tammy, I guess we're talking about what was going on in Atlanta, I believe it was, with the box. You know, what's in the box? Tammy says, it's like the case in Pulp Fiction, what the F is in there? Laura Harlow says, it's irritating to see how things are swept under the rug and folks wonder why we don't forget. And she says, because most of us can see they're a bunch of crooks, and she's giving a LOL to Vladdy. And then, of course, she obviously likes the conversation we got going. So, ladies and gentlemen, here's the thing. I want you to consider this from a different point of view. Yeah, I would tell you to consider from a Democratic point of view, but I can't really believe that most of you have that ability to fit your head in your ass. But just play with me for a moment. Why is it so important to the nation's socialist media and the anti-liberty left, but we repeat ourselves. Why have they obsessed about the election for months, viciously attacking anyone who brought up the suspiciously termed big lie? I mean, really, could it be that they obsess over this because they're hoping for a repeat performance? I mean, in military terms, it's what's known as preparing the battlefield. Tammy hears me say this all the time. It's tactical patience. Let the battlefield develop, right? Tammy, you know I'm right. I say this a lot. When it's time to be patient, just kind of step back. Let the battlefield develop. Put your pieces in play, but let the battlefield develop before you start bringing in your big guns. I think that's what's happening here. The Biden regime has already issued a dire warning for the fall. And there's a key line that shows that this is all smoke and mirrors. In the line, it says, quote, in forecasting 100 million potential infections during a cold weather wave later this year and early next, the official did not make praise of the new data or make a formal projection. What we're saying is the battlefield, they're sitting in the battlefield. Hey, it's still COVID season. Even though Joe Biden said the pandemic is over, even though he said it's over, they're bringing it up right here. 100 million potential infections during a cold weather wave this year and early next. We got to do something. We got to protect the elections. You know, they're taking the time to discredit any single allegation of their electoral malfeasance in order to issue the same condemnations when they do it again. You know, there's a new movie, I don't know if you've seen it, 2000 Mules from Denise D'Souza. And even Tucker Carlson is jumping in. They're raising questions, but they're experiencing suppression from all social media outlets to include a lot of the mainstream news. Why? I mean, if you take into consideration all that's being done by the we'll call them liberal-cidal, right? Kind of homicidal, but they're liberal-cidal. The liberal-cidal left, they're taking a lot in consideration to destroy this democracy, destroy this country. As a matter of fact, what we have found for years, and I've said it on my show since we've been doing this, that what the political left and what the Democratic Party is accusing you of, 9 times out of 10, they are guilty of doing the very same. So the idea is, I guess, it's kind of the psychology of cheating on someone, right? If you're feeling guilty about your affairs or whatever the case may be, you immediately come out and you start accusing your lover, your significant other. Yeah, I just made this sound like a porno, didn't I? You accuse your lover. who talks like that anymore? I'm getting old. You know, take two. So the idea is that what we have is when we have someone who's been cheating on their spouse, and, you know, if they want to alleviate some of their guilt or maybe try to create a fight so they can break up, they start accusing the one that they know is innocent. They're accusing them of infidelity so they can have something to bitch and complain about. Why? The only reason I did it is because you did it. When the reality is they're guilty the whole time. That is kind of what's going on here. Now, Billy Painter says, I think I should call in for an announcement. Billy, you can call in for an announcement as long as you're not plugging John B. Wells or any other show. If you got any other announcements beside that, I'm cool. We're not going to promote anybody else's show today. But if you want to, go ahead, call 409-245-9753. I mean, if you take into consideration what's going on to destroy this country, it takes a very critical importance. I mean, who can forget how the authoritarian left, they graciously accepted the electoral defeat without the merest hint of controversy after losing to Trump in 2016. You can't. Well, because it never happened. Somehow we're supposed to be able to memory hole this, and I think that's my man right there calling. We'll see. Guys, let's hope this works. Let me know if you can hear him. All right, caller, welcome to Phil D. Blackman Show. You're live. What do you got for me?
I'm not plugging somebody else's show, so don't worry about that.
What do you got, Billy?
Well, you and I talked about this in a bit of a private conversation, but I'll just make it public right here that I think in 2024, I think I'm going to run for the head of the school board in my local area. I've been talking to a lot of people who are running for offices, various offices around the country, and I learned that you don't have to be in the military to answer a call of duty. You don't have to be in the military to serve your country or your community. There's a battle to be fought, and that's not always on the battlefield with guns and grenades and swords and whatnot.
That's right.
Sometimes it's often done in the office. There are things I'm sick and tired of, and I feel like, you know, just I can't ignore it. I can't just sit around and talk about it. I've got some fighting to do, so it's time to get out there and fight this battle.
Well, to that, I just got one thing to say. Bravo, bravo, bravo. You know, Billy, I really believe that we need more Americans like you. And I've told you, you know, my plans as well. You know, look, if we have people who are looking what's going on, you don't have to jump out there and run for the Senate, run for president. Start small. Billy, you say you're going for the school board. Is that where you're going to start?
Yeah, I'm not even going to go for anything like the governor, maybe a small Senate seat I've considered. But, you know what else I've realized, too, is that, you know, too many people are too many people are viewing people who run for office that have to be clean cut, wear a suit and a tie and all that. You know, maybe it's time for people with a rough 5 o'clock shadow and dirt under their fingernails and you know, just the average blue collar American needs to step up.
Yeah, so you're talking about like have someone like John Fetterman but smart running her office. Have you seen John Fetterman? He looks like he hangs outside of a roller rink. Talking about, I love teenage girls, right?
Oh, you mean Uncle Fester?
Yeah, man. You know, he likes them because, you know, he goes older and they stay the same age, right? So I think you're right. I think we need to have a more serious candidate because he's polished. Here's the thing, man. Even if you polish a turd, it is still a turd. And that debate was bull and shoe ugly. But Billy, I'm just wondering, man. So starting out at the school board, what is your, if you were to run today, and look, we just kind of hit it right here in this segment. So what is your platform as you're vaping in my ear?
Sorry about that.
What's your platform? Why do you want to run for the school board? What's going on in your area where you're like, you know what? I need to be a part of the change that I want to see. What's going on there?
Well, for one, that starts with what happened at the daycare center, about 30 miles from where I live, where that one girl was fired for sitting a 3-year-old boy on her lap and looking him in the eye and drilling it into his head. It doesn't matter if you were born with a peepee. Deep down inside, you are a girl. And drilled that into his head. You are a girl. Trying to push this transgender bullshit into a 3-year-old's head.
My goodness.
Sorry for shouting.
No. You wasn't shouting at me.
That's what I got to fight against.
Well, good. We need that. And here's the thing. There's so many people, you know, I made this comment when 9/11 happened that I had a great career. I had a great life. Things were moving in a good direction. 9/11 happened, changed everything. I put all that down and I said, hey, look, I'm going to go to war because if we're going to go as a country and I'm going to say, hey, we need to go kick somebody's ass, then I need to be a part of the we. So I enlisted. I kind of think the same ideology needs to happen. We need more Americans kind of taking your stance, Billy, that, hey, here's a problem. And instead of waiting on some bullshit candidate to step up and lie to us some more, why don't we go out there and try it? I mean, start small and work your way up. I applaud you, Billy. I hope you do it. It takes courage to put yourself out there to be rejected. And I think, you know, whether you win, lose, or draw, I mean, at least you're getting out there. But do your homework, and you know, I really think we need more Americans like you, Billy. I really do, and I hope, when you do get ready for your announcement, I would love for you to come on my show and do it. But man, I appreciate you. I appreciate you calling. I appreciate what you're trying to do, man. We need more people like you.
One quick question, too, just slightly changing the subject just a little bit before I go here.
Okay.
Is a lot of the candidates that I talk to, and I make it no secret about my conservative views, mm-hmm. you know, but, you know, some of the candidates I'm talking to are third party, independents, Constitution libertarians. And it got me thinking, too, you know, people are just hung up on Democrats and Republicans all the time, which both parties have been so deceptive. Mm-hmm. And my former neighbor who moved here from California to live in a more conservative area, he, you know, he failed when it came to the 2018 election and just blindly voted everybody with an R behind their name. Mm. I think it's more important than ever now to start looking into third parties and see what they can bring it to the table. Because if you want conservative, somebody from a third party, not just a Republican, may bring to the table just exactly what you're looking for. So in your opinion, how important is it, do you think it is, to look at other candidates and to other parties?
Well, you know, I think it's very important. But here's what I would like to see. And I was telling Tammy today, if, you know, when it comes time to make that decision, if I make that decision, I'm going to be that kind of candidate. I try to be that kind of candidate where I'm looking at it saying, hey, look, if I'm going to take the stage, and the idea behind a debate is to say that guy's completely wrong and I'm completely right. But I think it would be truly refreshing to say, hey, look, my political opponent, they say this, and you know what? I agree. Where we disagree is this, right? And so I do think that we need to get away from blind loyalty, and we need candidates, Republican, Democrat, Independent, who instead of I'm right, they're wrong, I'm good, they're evil. Instead of doing all of that, Billy, I really truly believe in my heart that if we had candidates out there saying, hey, look, we don't disagree on everything, but this is where we disagree. And, you know, I think it would be prudent. I think it would do a lot for the voters. I think it would do a lot for our country if we had politicians going, hey, you know what? I agree with the other side on this take here, but this is where we disagree, and this is why you need to vote for me. So I think you're right, man. I really do. I think we do need to be looking at what the best candidate is, not what party they are.
Exactly. As one person said in MMA when the first striker won a title, it's not the style, it's the man.
That's it. You know, and I think that's what we need to do. We need to really be taking stock in that, and I think that would really do a lot as far as growing trust in our elections. To say, hey, look, you know, I mean, I'll tell you what, Billy, what I would like to see in this presidential election, truly what I think would be just amazing. Whoever wins the nomination, whoever gets voted president, it'd be a Republican, Democrat, or Independent. What I would like to see is their vice president be someone from the opposite party. I really think that'd be a great idea to try to bring in, you know, because that way you're showing true bipartisanship. You're showing true leadership by having two opposite parties working together on the same agenda.
Well, you know how it used to be back in Washington, mm-hmm. day with the vice president. You know how they did that, right?
Yes, absolutely. And that's why I brought it up.
Yeah, the people voted for the president, but the president or the president elect did not get to pick his running mate.
Yep.
His running mate was, or the vice president was the one who came in second on the ballot.
And I think that's something we definitely need to be bringing back up. Well, Billy, thank you so much, my man. God bless you. Thank you for calling in. And man, as always, I appreciate you. And I appreciate you and all the support that you do for our show.
Absolutely.
All right, buddy. Take care.
Thank you.
All right. So, man, great call, Billy. Again, 409-245-9753. Jay Bully Boy on YouTube says, interesting that when I search your YouTube page, it doesn't show us live. Dale says in Prime Nation, he says, no, it doesn't. YouTube suppresses him. Yes, they do. I just looked it up, and I guess it's because my page, it shows. But that's what I'm going against, you know. But before we go on, the Democratic complaints that we're seeing, you know, let them remind us that only they are allowed to question election integrity. That kind of happens a lot, you know. Anti-liberty leftists, they're always going to accuse other people of doing what they're doing. And they do it for a number of reasons, mainly as a form of disinformation, which is only hazardous if it's not them doing it. But you got to consider that it must bring a certain amount of perverse pleasure to these hypocrites. I mean, they love this whole big lie narrative because they love to accuse other people of being exactly what they are. A socialist workers' party, a race-based antagonist dividing people by skin tone. Hence, their mantra in the past 19 months is that any allusion to the 2020 election being a dumpster fire, of course, it's a big lie. And they repeat it so often, and they're admonished by their heroes, Hitler and Lenin. Both are socialists, so they can spare us this fake-ass outrage over the comparison. I mean, first of all, we're supposed to forget that the Biden laptop scandal that implicated the big guy, that's right, Uncle Joe, a scandal subsequently suppressed by the biased media, the same folks that are ever neutral to a fault except when there's an election on the line, and then all bets are off. And then that news, it isn't fit to print until 19 months later when it's far too late. I mean, we're also supposed to forget that the news jeopardized an honest election. Within days of the chaos of the mail-in voting, ballot harvesting, drop box stuffing, we were told that it was, in fact, the most secure election in history, with no proof. You know, one of the debunking stories that had a great role in this morning, it had a very, very interesting quote, and it said that extraordinary claims require extraordinary proof. So if Donald Trump lost the election, prove it. If Joe Biden won the election, prove it. I'm not saying either way, but I think at this point, with so many people asking questions and you're touting the most secure in history, prove it. I would love to see that. And I really believe that if the Democratic Party were able to prove that to be true, then, ladies and gentlemen, I believe the argument that the election was stolen, I think it will go away. Once you show the proof that happens, it's going to go away. I mean, that's correct, the anti-liberty leftist, that if you're going to claim perfection on a historic scale while simultaneously parroting the big lie BS, you may call it bullshit, I'll call it Biden speak, it's all the same. However and whenever you possibly can, the burden of proof now is on you, and that's exactly what's happening. They're calling it the big lie, so the burden of proof is on them, and they need to come forward. Help us make this election in 22 and in 24. Give us some faith. I mean, we're supposed to forget about all the glaring statistical oddities of the 2020 election, that the man who campaigned from his basement or to tiny crowds in the middle of nowhere somehow earned 80 million plus votes. And even worse was that his ability to acquire raw vote totals, it didn't translate to down ballot races. Does anyone feel like that we're being set up for the same kind of fairy tale story this time around? That those plunky Democrats facing long odds and saving the planet and initiating change, they're able to win anyway, despite the polling, or that their other candidates didn't get as many votes. And we're also trying to figure out where the secret history of the shadow campaign that saved the 2020 election, how it fits in all of this. Yeah, that's right. I just found this article this morning by Time Magazine. Come out in February of 21. You know, back around the time of the election, it seemed that there was a conspiracy unfolding behind the scenes between businesses and labor that cropped up long before the emergence of COVID to protect the election. And as it turns out, that's because there was, in fact, a conspiracy unfolding behind the scenes between businesses and labor that cropped up long before the emergence of COVID to protect the election. But remember, anything about any kind of conspiracy, that's a big lie. So here's an article out of Time Magazine, and man, look up the headline. It's a long article, but it's worth a read. It'll blow your mind. But I took an excerpt from it, right? The excerpt says, there was a conspiracy unfolding behind the scenes, one that both curtailed the protest and coordinated the resistance from CEOs. Both surprises were the result of an informal alliance between left-wing activists and business titans, even though it sounded like a paranoid fever dream. A well-funded cabal of powerful people ranging across industries and ideologues, working together behind the scenes to influence perceptions, change rules and laws, steer media coverage, and control the flow of information. They were not rigging the election. They were fortifying it. End quote. Did you catch that? Do you see it right there? I mean, it is right there on my screen. From Time Magazine, one of the most left-leaning publications out there. They weren't rigging the election. They were fortifying it. Paging George Orwell, paging George Orwell, call your office. Remember, this was before COVID pandemic made it necessary to deal with the COVID pandemic. It goes on to write in the article that sometime, quote, sometime in the fall of 2019, Mike Podhorzer, whatever his name is, became convinced the election was headed for disaster, and he determined to protect it. Wow. That was in an article. I mean, lucky for them, COVID did come along, so the conspiracy was justified by a serious crisis instead of just feelings. But the other odd thing about all this is that in that article, February 4th, 2021, it's almost as though they wanted to have all this out on public record. And it was optimally timed, I'm going to argue, for it to be seen and then quickly forgotten. Because, I mean, I try to follow the news very well, especially on stuff like this, and I'd never seen it. Why would they do this? I mean, consider what would happen had they not defensively published this and someone dug it up at some point. Then there's questions. You got some explaining to do? Absolutely. And with this out there, they have all their bases covered. You do have to wonder, though, how this fits into their lie matrix. There wasn't a conspiracy, but actually there was. Or it's all a big lie, and we keep changing our story anyway. Just remember, we're not supposed to challenge any of it. So we go back to the original question, why is all this important? First, let's get one thing out of the way. This isn't about restoring anything, because we have no doubt that this will be the accusation. There aren't any provisions for this, so that's off the table. But does anyone want to wager that this was part of the plan by the anti-liberty left anyway? I mean, sure, if Biden and Harris had any honor at all, they would have resigned by now, but who are we kidding? I mean, anti-liberty leftists, they lack anything in the way of honor. If they did, they wouldn't be running around with the false monikers like liberal and progressive or Democrat. Now, this is important because they're planning on doing it all over again. And we realize that it's bloody obvious to anyone on the pro-freedom side. And they've already started to telegraph their intentions and meddle in the local elections. So if it's supposedly a big lie, then why is there evidence of malfeasance out there? No matter how anti-liberty left likes to deny it, they have to do it over again because they ain't got anything else. The people are rejecting the results of their own socialist agenda, so they have no other choice but to cheat and then lie about it. You know, selective memory is very romantic. It does Democrats well. But luckily for us, the internet, it has an infinite memory. But the trick is, when you're doing research for shows like this, the trick is finding what you're looking for. Since a lot of the detrimental information that goes against the approved narrative, it's buried deep within the search engine, sometimes on page 5, 6, or 7 of your search. We're told to not question the 2020 election because there's a consensus among many voters that the wrong person was declared the winner. That also happened in 2016, but we're expected not to bring up old stuff, right? Why are you bringing up old shit? Because it's relevant. I mean, Hillary Clinton, right out of the chute, 2016, 2.8 million more people voted for Hillary Clinton than Donald Trump, but she lost the determining electoral college vote. During a September 29 interview with CBS, she blamed her loss on voting restrictions passed by some states before the 2016 election, and of course, Russia hacking onto her campaign that was later confirmed by the DOJ investigation. She said in 2019 that Donald Trump, quote, knows he's an illegitimate president. I believe he understands that the many varying tactics they use, from voter suppression and voter purging to hacking the false stories, he knows that. There's just a bunch of different reasons why the election turned out like it did. I know he knows this wasn't on the level, end quote. In October 2020 interview with The Atlantic, Clinton further went on to say that there was widespread understanding that the 16 election was not on the level. We still don't know what happened. But you don't win by 3 million votes and have all these other shenanigans and stuff going on and not come away with an idea like, whoa, something's not right here. So it's okay in her election, but not in anything after. Jimmy Carter in June of 2019, he's another one. He's a former Democratic president. He said that, quote, there's no doubt the Russians did interfere in the election. And I think interference, although it's not yet quantified, if fully investigated, would show that Trump didn't actually win the election of 16. He lost the election, and he was put into office because the Russians interfered on his behalf. Now, Jimmy, I hate to tell you, you old bastard, but investigations were done, and that was proven false. Bernie Sanders is another one. Vermont Independent, who's twice sought the Democratic presidential nomination, and the DNC completely screwed him out of it. But during an ABC interview in January 2017, he twice declined to say whether he thought Trump would be a legitimate president. He said, quote, "I think he's going to be inaugurated this week. I have great concerns, apparently the Republicans do as well, that there's going to be an investigation about the role of Russian hacking played in getting Trump elected." Well, they did their investigation. They waited 2 years for Robert Mueller to come out. The great Mueller report, they was waiting on it. And when it came out to be a great big nothing burger, then Robert Mueller was incompetent. You know, John Lewis, a Democrat out of Georgia, he said in January 17 that he wasn't going to attend Trump's inauguration. And he did that with a lot of other Democrats. No Democrat attended Trump's inauguration except Hillary. But John Lewis said that, quote, "I don't see this president-elect as a legitimate president. I think there was a conspiracy on the part of the Russians and others that helped him get elected. That's not right. That's not fair. That's not open to the democratic process." Jerry Nadler, the big troll himself out of New York, he said in January 17 that Trump was legally elected but an illegitimate president. He said, quote, "He was legally elected, but the Russians weighing on the election, the Russian attempt to hack the election, and frankly, the FBI's weighing in on the election, make his election illegitimate. But he's the president," end quote. Now, Nadler's reference to the FBI, you know, concerned when James Comey, in his disclosure to Congress 11 days before the election, that he was reopening the investigation, whether emails stored on Clinton's personal computer contained classified information. And he found that she did. But even though he found that she did, he made the call that, well, she didn't mean it. Although it's gross negligence of having top secret information, like they said with Trump and Mar-a-Lago, she didn't mean to do it. So we shouldn't prosecute. Maxine Waters, that old crypt keeper looking sumbitch out of California. She was again a part of that seven House Democrats who raised these futile objections to the Electoral College count by in Congress January the 6th of 2017 that certified Donald Trump's victory. I mean, they tried to argue that the election was tainted by Russian interference and voter suppression. They were overruled because none of their objections had the required support from the senator because they knew it was bogus. Democrats and their media allies, they've sought to stigmatize Republicans. Now they're called the ultra MAGA Republicans, you know, concerned about the 2020 voting irregularities as election deniers. Yet their scores. I counted 82 leading Democrats that have raised concerns about elections won by Republicans since 2000, claiming that elections were stolen and attempted to change the outcome of the presidential election by objecting to the certification of state electoral college votes. Tammy says right here, talking about Hillary and her emails, she didn't mean it. You know, I guess she's making fun of me. Dale says that when Maxine wakes up, she pops up out of the coffin. Absolutely, man. That chick is casket ready right now. We just got to be able to shut the door and maybe throw a ratchet strap over it because she needs to go. But, you know, the problem with the liberal critique of Donald Trump and the Republicans, it lies in the fact that Democrats who refuse to accept the presidential election results of 2016. These are the same people who spent the last 4 years, 5 years, 6 years spreading conspiracy theories about the 2016 election and casting doubt not merely on the election they narrowly lost to Trump, but on the patriotism and the legitimacy of their opponents. The Democrats' attempt to bully Republicans into silence about any questions on the vote or to simply shut down the discussion is a conspiracy theory, and that the media is labeling false in advance of even a cursory examination of the charges, it's not going to help the cause of democracy. Instead, it's only going to guarantee that angry Republican supporters hold on to this grievance with the same ferocity and determination Democrats did with their own sore loser routine for the last 6 years. And that right there, friends, is the breakdown. Guys, stick around. Let's hit some of these comments. Dale says that in the chat that Maxine Waters, she openly advocates violence. Absolutely. And he writes to Tammy that she's Halloween ready year round. Lord have mercy. Guys, stick around. I want to take a quick 2 minute break and we'll be back with you as we wrap up the show with one final thing. Stick around.
Bud Light presents Real Men of Genius.
Real Men of Genius.
Today we salute you, Mr. Giant Taco Salad Inventor.
Mr. Giant Taco Salad Inventor.
ground beef, refried beans, guacamole, cheese, sour cream, and if there's any room left, a few shreds of lettuce.
I don't see no lettuce.
A culinary creation that baffles the human mind. A 12,000 calorie salad.
Ah, caramba.
Some may ask, is your taco salad healthy? Of course it is. It's a salad, isn't it?
You can eat that deep-fried crunchy bowl.
So crack open a nice cold Bud Light, conquistador of the calorie. You put the feast in fiesta.
Mr. Giant Taco Salad Inventor.
What's that?
That's a swear jar. Every time someone swears, you put a quarter in it.
Who gets the money?
I don't know. We'll use it to buy something for the office, like a case of Bud Light or something.
Fucking awesome. F*** you, Bob.
F*** you, Jim.
Eric, I have a bag on line 3 for you.
Can I borrow your pen? Can I borrow your f***ing pen?
Will the owner of a white station wagon please go f*** yourself?
We're going to go down there. And we're going to f*** some a**. We're going to f*** some a**. We're going to do whatever we have to because we're going to f*** some a**.
Poop.
Doesn't count.
Shut the f*** up!
I am so proud of you mother suckers. Here, here.
Refreshingly smooth Bud Light. Always f***ing worth it.
You know, that Bud Light commercial, man. Everybody, the Bud Light swear jar, everybody loves it. That's why we do it. Taco salad, you know. It's ridiculous. You know, figure we'll take a little humor break before we get into this segment. One final thing. So here it is as we wrap up the show. You know, America's democratic form of the Constitutional Republic, it's on the verge of breaking down because of political corruption at the highest levels and the concurrent decline in civilian growing mob behavior. I want you to think back to the 2020 election. I did a show on Elections Eve, and I showed businesses all in D.C. They were boarding up their businesses because they knew there was going to be riots. They knew there was going to be hate and discontent and destruction, but they didn't do it. You know, because they saw just a year, you know, that whole summer before, they saw a lot of destruction when people didn't get their way. So they took a preemptive strike. The election came and went, and what happened? Nothing. No businesses were destroyed. No places were attacked. You know, it's unbelievable. You know, because we did end up on January the 6th. We had a riot, and you know, I detest the idea and the notion that what happened on January the 6th at the Capitol was worse than Pearl Harbor or worse than 9/11. It was horrible. It was a dark day in our country, but it wasn't what they're trying to sell it as. And that's sad. All right. So we got a commenter here, GH over on YouTube, in the chat writes, "These streaming conservatives are no different than the liberal nut jobs. They special cause, they call themselves patriots. They're just people sitting in parking lots, heroes in their own minds." Well, you know, maybe you're right. Maybe that is the streaming conservatives. They're no different than the liberal nut jobs. But I would love for you to expound on that a little bit. I mean, if you're referring to my show and what I'm putting together, prove me wrong. I would love to have the conversation. I enjoy having the conversation with people who disagree with me because I can always learn something, and I'm always willing to learn something, always willing to hear other perspectives. So at what point, you know, I mean, I do agree that we do have a lot of conservatives out there who will swear up and down the election was stolen, and they still believe that Donald Trump, the Great Awakening, the QAnon conspiracy theorists, you know, wackos, they are out there, and they're out there all over the place. And, you know, I try to be a little bit different from all of it because I just want to call people out equally. I mean, I'm an equal opportunity offender, and I encourage it. So look, if you would love to, 409-245-9753, we're not going to dox you or beat you up. I love hearing differing opinions. GH goes on to write, "The Philly Blackman Show, never been on your show. I'm talking about the 1776, RM people who are nothing more more than conservative versions of counterculture hippies of another age. Man, that is brilliant, right? Because what I'm seeing is, sirs or ma'am, GH, we'll just call you that. You know, there are people, and what's disturbing and what bothers me about this whole aspect of any election is everybody believes that their side is the only one that's right. Look, I'm going to tell you right now, I consider myself an independent. I am a conservative, but I think by every test that I've taken, I'm more of a center right, because I see the benefit of having the other side. I see the benefit. I see a lot of things that the Democratic establishment, they do have great ideas. They do have great things that they're doing. But for us to just blanketly with a broad brush say that side is wrong and our side is right, so you need to vote for it. No, man, vote for what aligns more closely with you. But God damn it, get beyond the headlines and read. Do some research. Don't just research things that you agree with. Research the other side. Listen to what the other side is saying. Take it into account. You might learn something. The best way to learn what the opposition is doing is to study them, research them. We did it all throughout the military. We always researched it. It's called TTPs, tactics, techniques, and procedures. Learn what the enemy is doing. That way you can counter it if you need. Now, I'm not going to say that the other side of the political aisle should be your enemy. It's not. But you should be more worried and more concerned about coming to an understanding than coming to a fight. Laura Harlow says, she says in the chat that there's a lot of center issues that either side can meet and come together. And that's kind of the point, Laura, that I'm trying to make. And I appreciate every comment that's happening in this chat right now. I appreciate all of you guys having civil discourse, because that is something we need more of. Just because you're a Democratic voter don't mean that I hate you. And just because I'm a center right conservative doesn't mean you should hate me. We should all just get along. All right, so he poses a question here. GH in the chat says, let me ask you a question. Why is it that conservatives like you can see the obvious problems of blind ideology and dogmatism, and yet so many Trumpers can't? You know, I really don't. You're right. You're absolutely right that so many Trumpers can't. But I think Dale hits it right there. It's called tribalism. The idea, case in point, I have an acquaintance that I went to school with. You know, she made the comment to my wife that, hey, I don't see anything that that Joe Biden has done is wrong. I agree with everything that Joe Biden has done. And that's the deal. I think the reason why people, they don't subscribe to anything other than their blind ideologies is because they're lazy. I mean, truly, I really believe that the average American voter is deluded. I believe they're stupid. I hate to be that guy, but I'm arguing on both sides. I think people that have this blind loyalty, as GH is bringing up, the ideology, the dogmatism, I really believe that it's just stupidity. It's laziness, because they believe that they are right and anybody who doesn't agree with them is wrong. And that is hot garbage. That is why we have all the civil discourse that we do, because people are afraid to say, you know what? They got a point. It's okay to say that. Doesn't mean you're a sellout. It just means that, hey, you know, I don't agree with everything, but I, you know, for a Trump voter, if you will, people will say that, you know, Donald Trump is the greatest thing ever. But a lot of people tend to forget that Donald Trump actually, for all of his kudos and accolades that everybody gives a lot of these Trump supporters, they tend to gloss over the fact that Donald Trump was the one who banned bump stocks. You know, and they talk about Second Amendment, it's my right, all this other stuff. But, well, if you hate people who are going against, and because someone has a gun control argument that goes against your delicate nature, for you to say anybody who's against the Second Amendment, they're against America. Well, you're still supporting Donald Trump, and yet he got rid of bump stocks, right? Now, look, regardless if that has a place in our society or not, that's beside the point. The point is that I'm trying to make is this blind loyalty. It's absolutely stupid, and I don't understand it. So Tammy Blackman says, popularity parties fighting for first place. That's absolutely right. Laura Harlow says, tribalism is definitely a factor. It is, because, you know, again, it's that sense of belonging. He goes on to write that how anti-Trumpers can be as ignorant and as lazy as the blind orange cultists, for sure. Well, it's funny that you talk about the orange man, because the thing is, Joe Biden is just as orange as Donald Trump ever thought about being, but we don't want to get wrapped around that. I mean, I really believe, I believe that, you know, we have what's taken over the conversation right now is fringe. Fringe and blind loyal to people who don't want to look beyond the headlines, people who just want to they want to vote so they can stand up and say, well, I voted for Donald Trump and this, you know, and they want to have that sense of belonging. I really truly believe that's why we have these people who are honed in on only their political party, because they want to be able to belong. They want to be part of the victors. And truly, I believe that that's detrimental to our society. Laura Harlow says that folks don't want to get kicked out of their group for having a different opinion. And we're seeing that, you know, I mean, consider when Donald Trump, when he was in office, a lot of his supporters, his staff members, even we had members of Congress calling for the harassment that they got doxxed, telling corporations, hey, this is a Trump supporter. You don't need, and people lost their jobs. They lost their livelihoods. But crazy enough, I haven't seen so much out of this right here, where people say, well, hey, that's a Biden supporter. You know, people aren't, maybe it exists and I just haven't seen it, and it's very possible. But I really truly believe that when we see the political left go on the attack of people on the right, you know, doxing them, calling for their jobs, calling for their livelihoods. I've yet to see the political right actually make those same requests and demands that the political left is doing. So it feels like it's definitely one-sided. Laura Harlow, or G.H. Rice, to Laura, that one can get kicked out of church or high school, cool kids table. One can't get kicked out of MAGA because it's not bound by anything other than a subscription to Trump's endless whining. I think the best thing that can happen for America is for Donald Trump to just move on. I really do. Because again, we go back to the whole idea that everybody says that Joe Biden is way too old to be president, right? Well, if in 2024, Donald Trump will be the same exact age that Joe Biden was when he took office. So if Donald Trump, or if Joe Biden is too old to be your president right now, then I think that Donald Trump would be too old to be your president even then. We need a new candidate. That's my take on it. Billy Painter says, I do like Trump, but he's no Ronald Reagan. Ronald Reagan was the best president in my lifetime thus far. That is my opinion. Sir, you're able to have that opinion all you want. And Dale, we are looking forward to having you on our show really, really soon. We're waiting on you to get set in. But I want to get back to this one final thing. I got off on a rant, but guys, thank you again for the engaging dialogue. I'm hoping to you know, grow my audience and let people know that, hey, this is the place where sanity continues to live. So he asked the question, GA says, you live in Oklahoma. You have a lot of Trump associates. No, I do not live in Oklahoma. I believe that the only reason that Texas hasn't floated off into the Gulf of Mexico is because Oklahoma sucks. I am from the great state of Texas. I don't really have associates, if you will, but I do have people that are Trump voters. I have people that are Biden voters, and crazy enough, we still get along and we still have conversations and we're still friends. I think politics is a stupid fucking thing to get rid of friendships and relationships over. But anytime somebody comes at me with anything crazy, the very first thing they always ask is there any proof? Where's your source when you make these claims? And if you don't have it, then you probably shouldn't be saying it. I mean, we the people, we can, and we got to play a very decisive role in turning things around. I really believe we do. I mean, a country with a constitution that makes us a nation of the people, by the people, for the people, it should actually put real people in power, real power in the hands of voters rather than the elites in Washington. I mean, I think it's important to remember that in giving power to the people, the founders, they had no illusions about everyday Americans. And I think this is kind of the key point, right? They recognized that most of our citizens, they wouldn't have the time nor the interest to understand the details of something like domestic economic policy or foreign policy. But they were confident in the common sense of people, that people would vote for candidates and political parties with more likelihood of delivering solutions to improve their lives. They also hope that the national election scheduled every 2 years would provide an important check of irresponsibility and abuse of power in government. We see it a lot. Almost every president in their first term, there is a change of the guard in the House and the Senate because the American public does not like the status quo. And it's almost universal for every president that we've had. Almost. you know, incompetence and corruption, you know, in a new presidential administration, it usually can be recognized early on, which is why these midterm elections, they are the key mechanism for course correction when there's a problem for any administration. You know, voters, I think, only need to ask themselves whether they're better or worse off today than they were 2 years ago. If the answer this year is a resounding, I'm worse off than I was 2 years ago, they should probably vote against that party in power. Now, as of right now, that's the Democratic Party. The next election will determine if it should be the Republican Party. But midterm elections, they're particularly important because they provide people an easy and direct way to change course by electing new candidates from the opposing party in such numbers that they become the new majority, which can then stop the executive branch malfeasance. GA says, thanks for clarifying. You seem to be a pretty sober-minded guy. Wish there's more people like you, and you have a good vocal presence, national aspiration. Well, first off, thank you for the compliment. Yeah, absolutely, man. I would love to be doing this I would love to be a radio voice, you know, broadcasting all across America. I mean, I have a worldwide audience right now in the UK, all across the United States, South Africa, New Zealand, the Netherlands. Man, I've got them everywhere. But I would love to break out into the big time, absolutely, because I think we need more common sense brought to more conversations. I really do. But to get a sense of the gravity of our present situation, I want to just give you, you know, just I made a list of 10 developments that have happened in America since this administration took power less than 2 years ago. And we need to acknowledge that every one of these were preventable. So the first one on my list was that Biden's open border policy, it resulted in a record number of undocumented illegal immigrants, criminals, terrorists, drug trafficking, human trafficking crossing our southern border. Estimates have actually put right now that the number of about 5 million people, more than 150,000 Americans have died from illegal trafficking of fentanyl during this time. It could have been stopped, but it wasn't. And that bothers me. Yo, the number two, the wholesale increase in crime in America, it's largely resulted from Democratic policies that have defunded the police. We heard about that all throughout 2020, that we need to defund the police. And then when they started defunding the police and crime started rising, then we saw this great big shift that, oh, it's Republicans who are voting against funding the police. It's the lunacy that bothers me, ladies and gentlemen. I mean, if we're going to play by a set of rules, let's all play by the same rules, even as stupid as they may be. But you can't say that this is their fault when you're the one who led the charge. It should be more about votes. It should be about what's great for our country, not your career as a politician. You know, Joe Biden, he signed executive orders to stop oil pipelines and reduce drilling and hydrocarbon extraction. And he, even during the final presidential debate, he said, I will not shut it down. And the very first thing he did right out of the chute was that's exactly what he did. And unfortunately, now we're left with these higher energy prices. We have this need for importing oil from undesirable states when we were energy independent. This loss of energy independence, it was achieved by the third year of the prior administration. By the third year, we had energy independence, and now they're saying that this administration inherited this energy crisis. That's so far from the truth, and I don't understand why people can subscribe to that. I mean, the Biden administration's failure to alleviate the supply chain problems. Remember, we had a supply chain problem going on. Our transportation secretary, Pete Buttigieg, he was on maternity leave when our country needed him most. You know, the energy policies resulting in the rise in fuel prices increases became driving factors of our nation's present runaway inflation. We heard the whole time as gas prices were going up, the president doesn't control gas prices. He doesn't control the spigot. He can't change gas prices. And then the gas prices started dropping, and now they're saying, well, it's because the administration's, their policies have made it possible. You can't have it both ways. Either you have the ability to affect it or you don't. And the fact that it's going down, you can't take credit for that just because it's an election season. That's my problem. You know, we have a very demoralized military. Biden's caused the recruiting shortfalls across all services. The Army right now is anorexic. We had that botched military withdrawal out of Afghanistan. You know, we turned over $80 billion in military equipment to our terrorist enemy, the Taliban, in Afghanistan, and we brought dishonor and disrespect to our United States. We abandoned our allies. We still got Americans right now who are there, and they call it a success. How? How in the world can you call that withdrawal a success when somebody who doesn't know anything about the military could be like, you know, we probably should have removed all the people before and you know, remove the people, remove the equipment, and then remove ourselves last. But that ain't what we did. We just started. We packed our troops and we left. And that's horrible. You know, number six, Biden, he expressed zero concern at all about China completing the purchase of 191,000 acres of U.S. farmland. Why? I mean, we're talking about land in the vicinity of U.S. missile silos and military installations. 300 acres near Grand Forks, North Dakota Space Force Base that operates our most advanced drone airframes and satellite communication technology. Why was this not shut down? Yo, Dale says the Army says get on government assistance if you can't pay your bills. That is a clown show because, I remember, Dale, when back in 2000s, in 2000 when I joined the military, 2002, man, it was unbelievable. We had privates who had family members, and they were on welfare. And now, because inflation has driven everybody out of pocket, I mean, our military personnel don't get paid dollars and cents wise. They don't get paid a lot, but in benefits and everything else, you know, I mean, I think it's a good rub. But when the government is telling our service members to get on government assistance, to get on food stamps while you're serving your country, man, that it defies all reason. You know, number seven, Biden has engaged in aiding and abetting censorship and deplatforming of independent voices in the legacy of social media. They have pushed actively to restrict the voices like mine, you know, because I don't agree with the narrative that's happening. I don't agree with it all the time, and I call it out 100% of the time. And if it was up to this administration and people who support the narrative, if you talk against it, then they're telling these social media companies they need to deplatform because they need to censor them because it's disinformation. I have no illusions that this show is going to be able to stay on the air, that this recording will be able to stay up. My podcast will be able to stay up through Facebook or YouTube or Twitter or Twitch or LinkedIn. I really don't believe that. Why? Because I'm talking against the narrative. Yo, number eight, Joe Biden's administration, their extension of government influence and control over media narratives are in a direct violation of the First Amendment. They are pushing this narrative that voices that even question, that say, hey, does the 2020 election, does that feel good to y'all? I mean, I got some questions. Oh, that's disinformation. We got to shut it down. Ladies and gentlemen, the First Amendment is free speech, not just the speech you agree with, free speech. We have the responsibility as adults. We have the responsibility as Americans to listen to it and go, that's bullshit, and turn the channel or move on. But again, the average American voter is stupid. They want to look at headlines and they just want to run with a story and have no idea of the substance or where it came from. And that's embarrassing. And the fact that we don't have more people embarrassed that they're getting caught out, that they're getting caught up in these lies. I mean, you would think by now that we would have people, when they see a story that is almost too outrageous for Hollywood writers, maybe you should do some research before you start hitting that share button and pushing the false narrative, because now you're making yourself look like a bigger asshole than you already are. The Biden administration's healthcare agencies, man, it's inconsistent. These harmful policies, they've censored alternative viewpoints regarding the treatments of COVID-19. You know, they made recommendations, they extended these mandates, and they destroyed businesses, generational businesses that have been in families for years. These mandates shut them down. They denied children access to socialization and learning, and they caused death and injuries. But more importantly, I'm sure you guys have seen the most recent. Information out there where they talked about the testing scores for fourth graders and eighth graders in reading comprehension and math has been down at least 10 points since the last test, and that was before the COVID mandates were shut down. The COVID mandates, you know, shutting down the schools, they hurt our children, and now the research is out there and it's backing it up. But not our fault, right? Somebody needs to be held accountable, and that's the problem. Nobody in our government will ever be held accountable because nobody's willing to make them accountable. Your last one, Biden administration politically weaponized the Justice Department. That is happening. That has happened. Law enforcement agencies, in unprecedented ways, they manifest these raids against the homes of people exercising their First Amendment rights, protesting school boards, abortion, questioning election integrity, researching the patterns of vote fraud, electronic vote counting irregularities. The DOJ and the FBI, they have went on the full-out assault, calling parents who ask questions at school boards. They want them to be called domestic terrorists. Do you see what's happening here, friends? If you step out there and you talk against the narrative, then goddammit, you are a bad person. And that is the problem. Because going back to GH's statement or earlier, let me see if I can pull it up, because it's a very valid point. He says right here, why is it the conservatives like you can see the obvious problems of blind ideology and dogmatism, yet so many Trumpers can't? Remove the Trumpers and just say so many can't. And then you have an accurate statement, because it's not just the Donald Trump voters. It's not just the Joe Biden voters. It's most of our voters, most of these blind loyalists who have no idea what the fuck they're talking about. But yet they have every desire to demonize the other side. They want to call them names. They want to shut them down. They want to put them in jail. I mean, how much damage did the riots of 2020 cause? How many people really went to jail? Not very many. Why? Because the current vice president, when she was a senator, she even went out there multiple times trying to raise money for a bail fund to get these people out. But yet people who are guilty of, for the most part, trespassing. Now, there was some bad stuff that happened on January 6th, no doubt. One person was killed during January 6th. Contrary to the narrative, they'll tell you that six officers died and Brian Sicknick was bludgeoned to death with a fire extinguisher. All of that stuff was smoke and mirrors. It's bullshit, but they continue to push it. January 6th, one person was killed. Ashley Babbitt, Air Force Security Forces veteran. And I'm going to tell you something. Ashley Babbitt had that coming. That may set some of you off, but she had that one coming. That Capitol Police officer, his back was against the wall, and he had to make a decision to protect the people behind him. That was his role. He did so. There it is. She died. That's the only one. The rest of it was just damage and trespassing. But yet these people who are guilty of trespassing on federal property, now they're getting 6, 8, 10 months, a year in prison for trespassing, for a misdemeanor? Are you kidding me? But yet we don't have, the pendulum doesn't swing equally the other side, especially when we're talking about January the 6th. Tammy Blackman says that I applaud all of the parents who are standing up and making their choices as you were. She corrects that makes their voices heard for their children. Amen. You know, just a few days after August 8th, and here's my idea about the weaponization. Just a few days after August 8th, FBI's raid on Trump's Mar-a-Lago residence, the IRS, they announced 87,000 new agents. That's a move that doubles agency's present size. Why? Nobody's asking that question. Nobody is asking that question. And if they are asking that question, they're just conspiracy theorists. They're deluded. You know, right here, Dale Hitz, we're talking about Ashley Babbitt, Security Forces vet, told y'all Security Forces ain't that smart sometimes. Well, I think, you know, regardless of their career field, we're all guilty of it from time to time. But her lapse in judgment, she's not a victim. She's not a martyr. She had that one coming. And unfortunately, she felt it for a long time. GA says, Tammy, I suspect that a lot of parents don't have a clue what CRT actually is or why they're angry, other than Tucker Carlson says they should be. Well, I want to refute that, and I want to tell you why. A lot of these parents who I saw protesting at these school boards, these are parents who actually had the paperwork in hand. They had the lesson plans in hand. You know, especially when you're talking about the sexualization, talking about, you know, the gender issues of kindergartners. I mean, what business is that? You know, CRT, you know, look, what's going on in the schools, CRT, first and foremost, that's a college rated, that's college level curriculum. However, a lot of the excerpts that are pulled out of it, namely out of the 1619 Project, that's where it comes from. These parents, they didn't just get up there and start bitching about it. They actually had the paperwork in hand, and that's what they were complaining about, the ones that I saw. Now, and really, if you want to, you know, all you got to do is look at Loudoun County, because that's where a lot of the problems happen. Dale says that I believe parents know exactly what they're talking about, and I tend to agree. Tammy says maybe so, but the parents should have a final say in what their children are exposed to and when. And I agree. I mean, sure, teachers should be allowed to teach, but at what cost? At some point, you got to maintain your children to make sure that what they're being taught, because this whole idea, and it's been proven time and time again, and we're seeing, especially in the realm of CRT, I don't really like talking about it too much, but in the realm of CRT, especially in these schools where the parents were upset, they were talking about this idea of little black boys and little white boys, you're an oppressor because of your skin tone. You're oppressed because of your skin tone. Man, in a very interesting developmental time of their lives, to tell these kids that, hey, you're going to fail regardless because you're black, or you're a bad person regardless because you're white, that's problematic. And I don't see how any parent can hear that type of conversation in any school and be like, you know what? Makes sense. Negative. He asked me, he says, have you ever heard of a guy named Christopher Rufo? The CRT campaign was literally created by conservative elites to inflame the base. I have not. But what I am going to do is I'm going to pull out my trusty crayon, because, like I said, I'm always a student of life. GH, if you'd like to educate me while we're still live, 409-245-9753. I'd love to have the conversation. If not, I completely understand. I'm not going to twist your arm at all. But getting back to the IRS, you know, this whole idea of enlarging the IRS, it doesn't make any sense that I've been able to find. One connects the dots with a factual record. I mean, as of right now, the Internal Revenue Service, they've stockpiled 5 million rounds of ammunition, and they continue to acquire more. Why? You know, they're creating help wanted job postings for new hires experienced and are willing to be trained in handling firearms and engaging people. Why? What does a tax collector, what does a tax investigator need to carry, AR-15s? What do they need to carry? What do they need to carry large amounts of bullets for? Their job is to enforce tax code. Leave the enforcement as far as the criminalizing, arresting people. Leave that to the police. What is the point? What is the point? Dale asks, he says in the chat that critical race theory, intellectual and social movement, and loosely organized framework of legal analysis based on the premise that race is not a natural biology. He says grounded feature of physically distinct subgroups of human beings, but a socially constructed, culturally invented category that's used to oppress and exploit people of color. Now, remember, Dale. The retort is that seems to, from GA says, that seems to be a very good definition of CRT. And yes, it's a legal theory mostly taught in college and graduate school. The idea, ladies and gentlemen, and I love this conversation, because, you know, this commenter here, GH, you know, obviously you and I, we don't jive 100% across the board, and I dig it. And I thank you so much for sticking with me. I thank you so much for being classy in your responses. You're not being you're not going on the attack. And that is, I appreciate that. But in September of this year, you know, there've been raids. There have been seizures of phones, computers, records, and the serving of subpoenas and search warrants of some 50 high-level Trump supporters, but no one has said anything about, I don't know, a Hunter Biden laptop. Why? I mean, isn't that, there's a lot of damning stuff in there, but yet we're not allowed to talk about it. That's kind of the point of all this. I mean, the actions over the last several months suggest that the United States, it's almost closer to a police state than a constitutional democracy. Americans, you know, they have an all clear to take action by voting, while also resisting the inclination to retaliate or take up arms, especially in self-defense. I mean, there's going to be various false flag events as we get ready to approach these election days, with the intention of creating a civil disturbance that's going to justify a martial law or providing a justification for election postponement or even a promotion of another mail-in ballot harvesting fiasco. Who knows? I mean, again, we're looking at it already. They're talking about COVID's going to get worse, and I truly think that I feel like that's going to be a red herring as well. But, you know, only time's going to tell. I mean, none of these truly can be allowed to happen. But as I wrap up this show, friends, I think it's important for patriotic Americans to do three things in addition to voting. Voting is first and foremost, but I think three more on top of it. The very first thing you got to do as a voter is you need to educate yourself. You need to educate your friends and your families who may not really understand what's going on. And they may not understand the stakes and the critical importance of this election for a course correction. But second, they should volunteer to serve at their polling places. Volunteer to serve as a vote counter, at processing places to discourage voter fraud and irregularities. But I think the third thing and the most important, and this is where I may end up, where I may end up losing some. You know, I am a Christian. I don't throw my religion in anybody's face. But if you are a believer, man, I think it's time we got to pray to God, man. That God's will is going to be done. You know, and the only thing I can think of is 2 Chronicles 7:14. It reminds us that of hope for all times. That's kind of my favorite thing. You know, hope is on the way. But in that Bible verse, it says that if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves, keyword, humble yourself and pray and seek my face, turn away from your wicked ways, then I will hear you from heaven. I will forgive their sin and heal their land. The idea, ladies and gentlemen, is it is time to humble yourselves. Your side is not always right. Your side is not always wrong. Regardless of your skin tone or your political ideation, your religious stance, it doesn't matter. You are not always wrong. You have a voice, and you should be allowed to use your voice. Regardless if everybody likes what you say or nobody likes what you say, it's time for us to be able to get back to disagreeing civilly. All right, guys, so Jay says, you're a trip, bud. I appreciate your channel, and I just subscribed, which I never do. Thank you so much for subscribing. Thank you so much for being a part of our show, to each and every one of you. Dale says that I pray to the flying spaghetti monster. Hey, if that's what you got to pray to, then do something. But as long as you're humbling yourselves while you're doing it, guys, that is what it's out. That's what we're about. But ladies and gentlemen, that's going to do it for me. We're running out of time. Thank you so much for tuning into this show. Because we try to seek to provide just not only middle ground analysis, but to remain consistent to the inconvenient truth that so many people refuse to see. Your side is not always right, and their side's not always wrong. Find that middle ground, because it does exist. You just got to open your eyes and take the moment to find it. It's not going to make you a bad person. You're not a sellout. You're not a piece of shit for asking questions. Keep asking questions, because that's how we keep people honest. So until next time, friends, thank you so much for your service and your patriotism to this country, man. Without our men and women in uniform, our veteran community, and great Americans like yourself, no matter what side of the aisle you're on, our country would be a very different place. We all, at the end of the day, we're the only ones who stand between freedom and chaos, and it's time that we take that stand. As I always tell my warfighters as a veteran, man, don't let your dog tags dangle in the dirt. Stay on your feet and continue to fight that good fight against everything that's wrong. If you love your peace, thank a veteran. Or excuse me. Man, how bass backwards am I? If you love your freedom, thank a veteran. If you love your peace, thank a police officer. And if you see a first responder, guys, give them a high five and handshake and tell them job well done. God bless each and every one of you, friends. God bless the United States of America. Take care of yourselves. Catch me every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at 5 o'clock p.m. Central Standard Time right here. Until next time, friends, y'all take care of yourselves. My name is Philip Blackman, and I'm out of here.